Okay, let's begin. We need to at least finish chapter 30 before the end of the conference. Yeah, I wanted to get through chapter 39. Because chapter 30 is actually supposed to be just one sermon, but we only finished chapter verse 7. So. I think it's great for Zoe Ministry to gather together like this. Because we've been going together in the flow of one truth for 20 plus years. So there's a lot of like traces of grace that have been piling up throughout the years. But now it's not just the Ministry churches in Korea, but also all of the international churches. So I'm very thankful that we are one family. And Zoe Ministry is one big church. And that is also the fulfillment of the prophecy of the laws of the end times, that we are the... we might look like there's only one candle, one lampstand. That's actually two lampstands on our flag, on our... There's two lampstands. It is the unification of the church. We're talking about the great church that is unified. This is why we're so happy when we gather together and we receive a lot of grace and we all become renewed and changed. Amen. So let's look at verse 8. So we saw how Israel was not relying on the Lord last night. So when you do not rely on the Lord, you rely on yourself. If you rely on yourself, you're actually relying on the world. And when you rely on the world, you actually rely on people. Please come back to your seats quickly. It's difficult for me if everyone's walking back and forth. It's very distracting, so please sit down. I think the speaker made a big difference. Just one set of speakers. I think it would have been nice to put one more, another set. It's a lot better for me. It's not that my ears are sensitive, but the space here is very big, and so there's a lot of echoing. I think there would have been nice to have 2,000 people here so that the people could absorb the echoing sound. We have only 1,200 people here, so that's why the lack of 800 people is affecting the noise. We need at least 2,000 people here. And we're supposed to have soundproofing on the walls here, but they don't. Anyways, you can hear me well, right? So, who cares about my ears? If I hear this echo, I start talking louder, so I get tired. Yeah, I get tired very easily. And that's a loss to you, right? So please, if possible, put up another set of speakers. I think it'll be a lot better than now. Because right now I hear a lot of echoing. So let's begin. So the focus of the kingdom of God is when the word of God moves. Of course, we enjoy the anointing, and we, you know, spiritual warfare is important, fire is important, but at the foundation, all of those things are moving because of the word of God. And our Zoe Ministry, we have recovered the truth of the early church. Why were there no glorious churches for the past 2,000 years? Of course, there were many good churches, but there were not any churches that were standing firm during the spiritual warfare. It's because they did not have the complete truth. But now, in these end times, the churches that have recovered the truth of the early church are rising up. Thus, that is the churches of Zoe ministry. And that's why the word is the most important ministry in Zoe ministry. So I don't find any trouble with church members who receive the truth. But I think no matter what you do, if you do not receive the truth, then that's a big problem. So Isaiah is going to talk about that. Even in the Old Testament, the prophets, they all regarded the Word of God the most important thing. And also for the New Testament apostles, they saw it the same thing. Even Paul in 1 Timothy, he says that the church is the foundation of the truth. So why do we call the church of God? It is because the truth is moving inside of the church. No matter how big your church is, no matter how big your stage is, it doesn't matter if you don't have the truth. If you don't have the truth, you are not the church of God. The church of God must have the truth moving inside of it. And it is because the truth became corrupt inside the churches that the churches became powerless. Just as it says in Isaiah chapter 26, these churches gave birth to wind. They became powerless. And that is the season that is coming upon us. So just as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:5, it says that the time of the apostasy is coming upon us. Apostasy is not something that happens in the face of persecution. It is people who confess that church, all religions have the truth. That is apostasy. That is what churches are saying nowadays. They you know, support homosexuality. They support all religions, and they say all religions have the truth and the way. They are persecuting those who are against homosexuality. You know, and 70% of the pastors in South Korea are on the leftist party. Of course, you know, the church has the authority to rule over politics. I'm not saying that we have to, you know, we have to participate in politics. You know, we have to elect officials. But I'm saying that God is ruling the country through the church. So we are not talking about the politics. We are talking about light and darkness. So how can a pastor, praise the darkness? They're not true pastors. They are blind. How can the blind lead the blind? Everybody dies together. If you don't know what the light is, if you don't know what the darkness is, how can you do pastoral ministry? That's a big problem. It's a critical problem. So if you do not understand the reality of South Korea, then there's something wrong. If you don't know God's plans for South Korea, then for the Korean Peninsula, then there's something wrong. So I am ready to go to the front lines at any time, but God has not put me in the front lines yet. There's like, that's why I respect Pastor Son. I don't really pray for other pastors outside of Zoe ministry. I have prayed like this before. Lord, please help Pastor Cho Young-gil not go to hell. I've prayed like that before. Because right now you cannot tell if he's going to go to heaven or hell. Because the problem of salvation is not clear in his church. So I'm not prayed for one pastor before, but I think Pastor Soen is the first pastor I have prayed for who I'm praying for blessing in his church, because there are pastors like him. Korea is alive. And the fact that, you know, the enemy has touched pastors like him, they have crossed the line. So God is moving his judgment upon South Korea right now. Amen. If we have to die, we will die. That's not a big problem at all. But it's not time for us to die yet. It is time for us to step on the enemy to be victorious. Amen. So we have to pray for pastors like Pastor Son. We have to fight. Can we close the doors? Okay, we can close the doors. I thought people would be hot. But let's move on. So we saw the wickedness of Israel up to verse 7. So what is the big picture of the Bible? Are you going to live according to the kingdom of God, or according to your own kingdom? That is the question, the clear question the Bible is asking. So the more you live with God, you will see this clear difference in your life. Are you in the kingdom of God, or are you living in your own kingdom? Are you in the old self, or are you living in the new self? Are you standing on Mount Gerizim, on the Mount of Blessings, or are you standing on Mount Ebal, which is the Mount of Curse? There are several things we can say about this. But that is what Yahweh is like. If the blessings and the curse are not clear in the church, there's not a clear difference between blessings and curse in the church, it means that the church has been compromised with the world. The standard of salvation should be very clear inside of the church. You should know whether or not this church member is going to die. If this church member dies tomorrow, if they're going to go to heaven. So we need to have a feast and a festival whenever a church member dies, because we know where they're going. We should not say, oh, how could they die? It is a sadness for us to be remaining on this earth, not a sadness for our church members to go up to heaven. It's not a problem for them to go up to the Lord. It's a problem for us that we are remaining here. So we have joy for our church members who enter into heaven. So the problem of sin should be very clear in the church. That's why the church, early church, was able to kick out church members. So what is excommunication? It is not just like people, you know, doing something wrong. It is that it was a problem for a church member to continue in sin. It was a problem for the church member who was committing that sin. And it was also a problem within the church, because they were defiling the whole community. And God was not pleased with that. So we have kicked out church members based on immorality. But it is not because they committed immorality that they were kicked out. There are some people who we have left in the church for 10 years, 20 years, and they have not grown, and they have not progressed, but they even earn a lot of money. That's not a blessing from God. It is the church is being defiled by that kind of money. So that's why I sent that kind of person out. So I'm not saying there's a law in the church, and that's why we are kicking them out. It is actually a consideration for that person who committed the sin. What did Paul say? They need to receive physical suffering by being kicked out of the church, and they need to receive the opportunity to receive salvation. Because the church is life. And if that kind of person remains in your church, the church will be corrupted. So we need to be very strict about this. I'm talking about the Church of God. There's this kind of example as well. There's a church, there's a single man who's trying to get married to a married woman. Then we cannot allow this. The church said, the Bible says that that's rape, immorality. And is there a church member who sells alcohol? You have to kick them out. You cannot earn money by killing other people, other people's souls. So if the church does not risk their lives for holiness, then that's not a church. So it has to be a clear difference in the church. That's why God is always saying, be holy as I am holy. Why is Israel holding hands with the church? It's because they have gotten rid of, they threw away the holiness of God. So the most important characteristic of living by the kingdom of God is holiness. But because they abandoned that holiness, they allied themselves, they made an alliance with the world. We are not a church if we gather together anybody. Like, the church is a place where God rules over the church with His holiness. There was the king Artaxerxes, right? Or Nebuchadnezzar. Whenever the heralds, they rang the gong, all the peoples from 120 nations would bow down before such kings. But the King of Kings, He is here and He is ruling over the church. That is the church. Just as it says in Malachi chapter 3, He comes suddenly upon His temple. So the church cannot move willy-nilly according to its own plans. It is because you're closing your eyes to God that you think that way. If you open your eyes, you will see the clear difference between the reign of God and the reign of the world. So if this clear standard is not standing inside of you, that means you are not being ruled by God. If God is ruling over you, then these clear differences will rise up inside your life, in your life. So if you're not sure if you're living according to the new self or the old self, it means you're not living according to God. If you don't know whether you're in the old self or the new self, then that's a problem. Furthermore, if you're not sure if you die right now, if you're going to stand in front of God, if you're not clear, it's not clear whether or not you have this confirmation of salvation in you. You need to have this confirmation. There's several things we can say. Just as it says in 1 Thessalonians, the work of love, the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope, these things need to be clear inside of you. And if you die even right now, you have to have the confirmation that you'll be standing before God. So that's why we say that the early church was able to have martyrs, because in the rule of God, they never denied God in any moment. They were able to live and die for the Lord. And there, what is the evidence of the discipleship? It is to die for the Lord and for His gospel. So martyrdom is not something amazing. Okay, I'm not saying we're not recognizing martyrdom, but rather, martyrdom is something that's supposed to happen to every church member. It is a lifestyle. It is the lifestyle to those who have the true spirituality. Just as it says in Romans chapter 10, so those who call upon the Lord will be saved. Those who call upon Lord Jesus will be saved. And you know, in that time, they're supposed to call Caesar Lord, but because we call Jesus Lord, it is okay for us. We are ready to die. We are ready to die. They're not just calling upon the Lord. How? right? They are ready to die. So the cross of Christ made us to be able to die as martyrs. What does it mean that you have received salvation? It means that you have seen the work of salvation 2,000 years ago. So martyrs, they are witnesses. That is what the Greek witness and martyr is the same word in Greek. So there has to be a clear standard inside of the church. There has to be you have to make that clear choice. So there's no such thing as if something is very unclear in the church, then that's a problem. We are in a season where these will become a very clear difference and a clear standard inside of you. So I've never compromised in the past 26 years of Zoe ministry. So if you have proclaimed the truth of Zoe ministry in your churches, then you would have been following the same flow as our church. There might be small differences, but all the churches in Zoe ministry are following this flow. And if you do not, if you are not, it means that you are not part of Zoe ministry, but it's not too late. It's still not too late. We do not follow a certain pattern, but we are looking to the coming of the Lord. And if we want to stand before the Lord as glorious beings, then you have to follow along with us. If you do not care about glory and all you care about is not going to hell, then you don't need to do Zoe ministry. And you will find out at the end when you die, and you will find out where you ended up. As you enjoy the pleasures of this world, you will beg God to allow Him to bring you into His gates? No, that's not what we want. We want to stand before God in a glorious state. In a glorious state. So that's why we need to stay awake and pray. We need to be holy and pure. That's what we need to be. Amen? So we need to look at from verses 8 through verse 17. This is God's judgment against Israel's disobedience. It's not just for the Old Testament, but for the New Testament as well. When we step the line of sin, then God pours out His judgment. There's a couple of more things we could say about the New Testament. But in the big picture, now, when we ignore sin, then God's judgment will come upon us. It's the same flow between the Old Testament and the New Testament. What do we say? If we do not resolve sin, then there will be judgment. The more you commit sin and the better off you live in this world, there's no greater judgment than that. Hebrews says that you are an illegitimate child if you live like that. God does not leave His children alone to live like the world. There are many reasons for this. The characteristics of God and God's love for us do not allow Him to leave us alone. So what is the worst thing for Israel? Okay, the most that God does for us is that He defends our holiness. If you live in sin and you ignore holiness, it means you have denied God. It's impossible for Israel to be restored from this state. Then God wants to defend and preserve their holiness. That is God's love for Israel. It is possible because He's the God of love. It is not love if God leaves you alone to commit sin however you want. God's love is that He preserves your holiness. Of course, God is leading you to higher and higher levels of holiness. But for those of you who do not have hope, God will, He will take away your life at the right time. So we cannot think that it's a blessing to live a good life in this world. So the big picture of the Bible is that if there's sin, there's punishment. Amen. So in the New Testament, we can add one more thing to this picture. The principle is that if there's sin, there is punishment. But who took care of that punishment? Jesus did. He took on that punishment. So before we pile up sin inside of us, as it says in Romans 3:26, God waits for us even when we commit sin. He is waiting for us to repent. Of course, God waited in the Old Testament as well, but there's more patience, more waiting, and more consideration and comfort that God gives to those who commit sin. And by the power of His blood, so in the Old Testament, we had to delay the effects of sin by slaughtering the lamb, right? That was one way that Israel could delay the punishment. But in the New Testament, because we have received the blood of Christ, when we commit sin, that effectiveness is gone. So in order to not receive punishment, we need to repent. Because we're in this kind of mechanism. That is the reason why we do not undergo punishment when we commit sin. But inside of the big picture of the Bible, if there's sin, there is punishment. It's because you do not know how serious sin is that you are not able to see the big picture of God. Just as it says in Romans chapter 6, that Paul says that we have been freed from sin. We have shed away sin. We have been completely freed from sin. Paul's not saying this because in theory, but he experienced this in his life. After you've received salvation, you have become a completely new being. The reasons that the Jews thought that they were better than the Gentiles is because they thought that they had a way to resolve their sin. That's why they thought they were better than Gentiles. That's why the Jews needed a temple. They need a place where the king is ruling over them. They need a place where they can offer sins. They can offer offerings to take away sins. So how much more does Jesus resolve all of our sins for us? Because the root problem of every thing in life is sin. But because Jesus has resolved our sins, so on the Day of Atonement, Israel has a festival. But we have celebration every single day, right? Because He says, I will no longer remember your sins. Because we have the right to enter into the inner sanctuary now. That's why Jesus is able to say, you can ask for whatever you desire and I will answer you. If you are powerless and you do not pray, then that doesn't make sense at all. Amen? So, you should not forget that there is always punishment for sin. And you should understand how great God's grace is that He resolved your sins. And you know that you have entered into a new state of glory because your sins have been resolved. So all we have to do is repent. Of course, it's important to not commit sin. But if you do commit sin, all you have to do is repent. And then everything will be resolved. God will clothe you in His righteousness, and you will be able to enter into His glory. You have the right to come before Him as a royal being. So let's go to verse 8. Okay, if I continue at this speed, we will not be able to finish first chapter 30. Okay, verse 8. Now go right before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. So, it says to write on a tablet is to write with on gold. So it's saying to write the record of Israel's sins so that everyone can know forever. There's no book in the Bible that talks about the sins of Israel. Is that right? There are chronicles of the different nations. Okay, there are no documents that talk about the sins of other nations, right? But why does God allow for the sins of Israel to be recorded in the history books? It is because of the character of God. Because God is an honest God. He is an upright God. So we'll talk about God's uprightness. So David was upright, and many prophets were upright. When they met with God, it's not that they first encounter God's uprightness when they meet with God, but it might be one of the first. Or it's a characteristic that they receive during their relationship with God. But at the very least, all the prophets have experienced the uprightness of God. So He's an upright God. It means that He's very honest. He does not hide anything. Secondly, the reason that God exposed the sins of Israel to the later generations is because He wants to... Okay, well, so what I've said for the past 20 years is, I've said we need to be transparent with one another. This is very important it's the first step to becoming the church, being the church. So now it is now that our church members are starting to become more transparent with one another. So if you look at the community in James, it says in chapter 5, to confess your sins to one another. How great is their spirituality that they can confess each other's sins to one another? So when I confess my sin to this brother, he does not judge me. He does not judge me for my sins. But rather, he understands that because he did not pray for me that I committed sin. And he starts to pray for me. That's the kind of community that James had. They were completely filled with love for one another. So you cannot make this kind of relationship in a community that meets only once a week. That's not a true community. Because if you only meet once a week, you only see the good parts of each other. When you see each other once a week, you say, oh, sister, did you do well? Oh, you're wearing very nice clothes. What is this? Oh, you're wearing very nice clothes. And you've been having a nice time for the past week, right? You only see each other's nice aspects. You're not able to reveal each other's weaknesses and wickedness. But when you see each other every day, and you reveal each other's evils through cell group and through worship, you see each other's weaknesses and wickedness. You're not able to hide your evil. That's how we become a family. It's when we are completely honest and transparent with one another. It comes from the characteristic of God, who is upright. If we are not upright with each other, then the church will not be a true church. So in this time, in these end times, we cannot be a true church if we meet only once a week on Sunday. We have to meet each other every single day. We have to live together. We have to fight each other, cry with one another, pray for one another, minister to one another. It's only in that way that we can become a true church together. I hope you understand how important it is to be the church in Zoe Ministry. That's why we send out ministry teams to all of the Zoe Ministry overseas. If we look at one person, it's not that good. But these people are RT teams. Because they're going out in the name of the church, they are able to do wonderful things. Even, you know, middle school and high school students, when they go out in the name of the church, they're able to do wondrous miracles. But that does not happen in just one day. It's because we have made this relationship of transparency in our churches that we are able to do that. And so even in our church, if one member falls to sin, that we think to ourselves, oh, it's because I did not pray for that brother that brother fell. And in our church, if one person needs help, the whole church comes together to help. We all come together to help each other. I'm not saying all of our church members are that way, but whether or not we want it or like it or not, we move the church like that. This is what has been happening in the past 27 years as we've been establishing relationships, honest relationships. This comes from the characteristic of God, who is upright. This is how important it is to understand God as upright. So I believe that all of our Zoe Ministry churches are doing the same thing. But if it's not happening in your church, it's not too late to become the glorious church. You need to become transparent with each other in the church. You need to establish the unity of the church. So all of the flow of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, this flow needs to be embodied by the church. So the fullness of Christ needs to be manifest in the whole church. Of course, there's no excellence that each person has, but rather when they gather together in the name of the church, they are able to do anything. No matter who goes out, they are able to fulfill the kingdom of God and do the works of the kingdom of God. Can we do these things without this kind of method? From what I have seen of the early church, from what I've seen in the Bible, there's no way for the church to become glorious and upright without being honest and transparent with each other. So one charcoal is not much, but when the charcoals pile up on each other, then you can start a big fire, right? That's what a church looks like. For the past 23 years, we've been able to do this kind of amazing ministry because we are united and transparent with one another. That's why we are able to move together as one church and with one heart, according to the command of Jesus. I'm not talking about my pastoral I'm not telling you the secrets of my pastoral ministry. I don't know philosophy, right? Okay, let's move on. So we need to be upright. It's very important to be upright. And we have to be open and honest before God. And that's why God is saying, let all of the descendants of Israel know their shame. For they are rebellious people in verse 9. So God is talking about their rebellion. If you do not live according to the kingdom of God, you are rebelling. If you just listen without understanding, then you will not receive benefit. But when you are in the deep presence of God, you are able to see the root problem, the root issue of why you are rebelling against God. So it's the same for complaining. At that time, the people were complaining because they wanted to change the king. So when the Israelites were complaining against God in the wilderness, they were saying, oh, we want to change our king. We do not want Yahweh to be our king anymore. So they are rebelling. And even at the foot of Mount Sinai, they made this golden calf and they offered offerings to this idol. Of course, we might fall into this trap of exchanging God for another God, but we cannot leave this alone. We have to recognize that this is rebellion against God, that we have this root of rebellion inside of us. That is the work of the Antichrist. All of the root of all evils comes from the Antichrist. This is evil does not come from a mistake that you made. You do not say, oh, I made a mistake when we have this root inside of us, because that root will start to grow deeper and deeper inside of us. You have to understand that the root of all evils is the Antichrist. So if you do not treat this issue lightly, if you treat this issue lightly, then the enemy will come deeper and deeper inside of you. I'm talking about the root issue of evil. I'm not telling you that, oh, something bad is going to happen to you. I'm talking about why you're not able to live according to the kingdom of God. Let's say you have a cold. You caught a cold. So whether your body fights the infection and wins, or whether the medication overcomes the infection, either way is okay. But you have to understand that the cold can develop into something that kills you. That's why pneumonia is very bad for kids, right? It's the same. Those who are not in the rule of God, foundationally, they are always rebelling against God and they are giving in to the Antichrist. When we live by God, there are two things that happen, two clear signs. They become sensitive to God. They become sensitive to His love. They become sensitive to His grace. They become sensitive to how great He is. And you start to become sensitive to the rule and presence of God. If you look in Enoch, there are 3.6 million doors. There is a door of sensitivity. This is very important to feel God. That's why among the 3.6 million doors of Enoch, there's a door of sensitivity. So we have opened that door, and that's why we are sensitive to the Lord. At the same time, that kind of person becomes very sensitive to darkness and sin. So that's why David, he feared sin as much as he feared God. So as you live with God, these things need to become clear inside of you. So I'm telling you, what is the root problem of sin? I'm also telling you what happens when you commit sin. You are opening the door to the enemy. You're opening the door to rebellion to enter into your heart. And they are lying children. In verse 9, it's the same thing as with the issue of uprightness. If you're not in a relationship with God who's upright, that we become liars. Well, who are liars? You are a liar if you think you can hide something from God, because God is God of uprightness, right? He is a all-knowing God, right? So is it possible to hide something from him? It's a very foolish thought. But that is the spiritual order. If we are not honest with God, then we are leaving some darkness alone in our lives. If you request to God, God, I've committed these sins. I want you to cover me. It is because you are leaving the evil alone that you're starting to fall under the rule of evil. Let's say, for example, you have these wounds inside of you. If you do not resolve the wounds, that wound does not stay still. Don't be deceived. That wound will bear deeper roots so that you can make another wound inside your heart. And then that wound become part of your personality and it will bear bitter roots. So just as it says in Hebrews, that wound will pollute other people. It will defile other people. So that's why you need to separate yourself from your wounds and all those bitter roots. If the reason that you are not able to become honest in front of God is because of these roots, and these roots are why the wound is becoming deeper inside of you. Let's say like Sogol has not resolved her immorality, but she is interpreting in front, right? But she is spreading that influence of immorality to me if she does not resolve that root. Of course, I don't think that, I don't think, these immoral thoughts when I'm next to her. Okay, please buy her some new clothes. Buy her some new clothes. How can you leave her alone? It's okay. So how sensitive am I during the preaching? Because that wound is influencing me as well, and it's also influencing her. So when you go into a fellowship of honesty with God, it will become like this. But those kind of people who are hiding something from God, their tongues cannot be interpreted because they are not exposing that wound before God. They think they're saying, God, don't touch me, it hurts. And so they are hiding that wound from God. And they are not able to enter into the flow of God. There used to be a LP vinyl record. If there's a scratch in that vinyl, the music would skip, right? Because there's a scratch in the vinyl record. We used to call that a vinyl record. So if there's a scratch on that disc, the needle would skip over that scratch, and it's the same. If you interpret that person's tongues, it skips over. Of course, you can resolve that through the gift of knowledge, but they are not able to enter to the flow of God because of that wound. So as you do have fellowship with God, and no matter what, in your every aspect of your life, let's say, for example, you met with somebody yesterday. You didn't have any problem when you were meeting with them, but you felt something was wrong. But when you entered into fellowship with God, you understand that you received a wound through that person. And you, through resolving that wound, you meet the upright God. And you cleanse that wound with the blood of Christ, and you repent, and you get rid of that wound. So inside of your life, you have to be able to meet with the upright God. Of course, there are times like this, for example. There's a wound that you receive when you're in your mother's womb, and you are not manifesting that wound for a long time in your life. But as you continually release all the bondages in your life, there's a moment that that wound will manifest. That is when you will be able to meet God in His strong personality as the upright God. That is the time when you need to meet with the upright God, and you will open yourself up to God. And you will see, God, this is how much I've been suffering. Lord, this is how much that wound has made me suffer. You are opening yourself to God in that moment. That's why David in Psalm 51, when he committed sin against Bathsheba, he was able to cry and shed tears for a whole week. And he experienced the blood of Christ. And what did he say? Lord, pour out a spirit of uprightness within me. This is a very important prayer. Lord, pour out a spirit of uprightness in me. So I know some of you have not met this upright God. I'm sorry to say, but there are many things that you are hiding from God if you have not met Him as the upright God. Why are you not meeting the upright God? It's not a problem of technique. It's not a problem of your knowledge. No. You're supposed to have this unending fellowship with God. It's because you're not... It is because you're meeting with God only time to time. You only meet with Him once a year. You only meet Him once in 10 years. You only meet with God as a special event. That's why you cannot meet with God. You're supposed to meet with God endlessly, continuously. That's why then you'll be able to see that you are not hiding anything from God. And when you don't hide anything from God, God will not hide anything from you. You need to be... It means you have that spiritual state in which you are meeting with God continuously. So living with God is not a problem of technique. It's not a problem of your resources. It's not a problem of your family background. I know there are some of you who receive a spiritual attacks because of your family background, but that's, you're under deceit. It's not a problem of your resources. It's because you are lazy, spiritually lazy. When you meet with God and you desire God so much every single day, then there's nothing that can stop you. God will reveal everything to you. Amen. So these lying children, they stop revealing themselves to God. And they are not under the rule of God, and they live in their own kingdom. They have embodied their own darkness. That's why He calls them lying children. They are children unwilling to hear the instructions of the Lord. The reason they are lying and rebellious and they are in darkness is because they did not hear the instructions of the Lord. So there are several things we can say. First of all, God's word is light. So if you're receiving God's word, it means you're constantly in the light. So because you're in the light, you cannot leave the darkness inside of you alone. That's why the essence of Israel is Shema Israel, to hear the word of the Lord. Hearing the word of the Lord is the essence of Israel. Let's say God said, oh, Israel is power. That sounds like a good thing, right? Because Israel is very powerful. But why did God not say that about Israel? It's because power needs to be received through a certain process. God cannot say that Israel in its essence is power. Let's say Israel is wisdom. That sounds very good, right? And then you will be overflowing with wisdom. But it's the same thing for that. The reason we cannot say that, God cannot say that about Israel, is because you need to have wisdom only when you have a certain relationship with God. It's not easy to have wisdom on its own. That's why God said, Israel, Shema Israel. Why is this important? It's because the essence of Israel is that when they hear the word of God, they can receive everything through that word of God, through hearing it. Because the word is light and the word determines everything. It means God cannot work together with darkness. God cannot work inside darkness. So because God's word is light, and the word shines its light upon you so that there is no darkness in you anymore. So we can talk about many characteristics of the word of God, but especially when we talk about the personality of God, when we receive the word of God, we are actually receiving God himself into us. So wisdom and power, that's that is part of manifestation, not part of the essence. But the word itself is God's essence. So secondly, when we're talking about the word of God, so the word of God works together with God. So Yahweh God has many names, but the most important name is Creator God. So if you take away Creator, Yahweh means nothing. If you take away Creator, all-powerful God makes no sense. It is because He is Creator God that we have all the other titles of God. So that's why God created this whole universe through His word. So the fact that He created this world means that He created it through His word. So His right as Creator goes together with His word. So when we say that Israel's identity is to hear the word of God, it means that they are able to receive everything of God through hearing the word. So when we say that they listen to the word of God, theologically speaking, it means that they hear by faith. It means if they have the spiritual state to hear the word by faith, then that is perfect. If they are ready to hear the word by faith, then all of their spiritual growth is already guaranteed. So you have been listening to my word, to my message, but this word is not my theory, it's not my philosophy, right? So if you are listening to my word by faith, it is only a matter of time before you can surpass my spirituality. I can guarantee this. So there's nothing more important than listening to the word by faith. So on the other hand, on the opposite hand, if you do not hear about the word by faith, then you cannot be honest. You cannot be upright. That's the reason why many people who have done ministry with spiritual gifts have fallen into ruin, because they only ask for power. They only ask for spiritual gifts. And the reason that the word is so important, what is the word related to in your life? It's related to the indwelling presence. The word is the reason that we are able to have this indwelling presence. What does it say in John 15:7? I in you, my word in you. My word is in you. When God's word is inside of us, that becomes the essence of everything that God does inside of us. So, okay, so the external presence is all just the manifestation, power, money, the church growing bigger, that's all external manifestations, okay? But for our being, the word is internal, right? That's why the most important thing is to hear the word and repent. So if you have been just enjoying the external presence, it's still not too late for you. You need to look inside to the internal presence. You need to see the word of God moving inside of you. When the word moves inside of you, then your being will be completely transformed. All the 66 books of the Bible are talking about your being. They're not talking about the external manifestations. You have to be clear about this. You need to be clear. Amen? That's why the word is important. So if you're not listening to the word, then it's game over. So all the prophets have rebuked Israel about this. They have said, Israel, you're not listening to the word of God. So look at how wise God is. If I was God, I would have said, I would not have said Shema Israel. I would have said, Israel is power. But God says, no, Israel, you have to listen. So even in the time of Zechariah, who came 400 years after Isaiah, he said the same thing. Shall we look at Zechariah? Chapter 7, Zechariah chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 11. He's talking 400 years after Isaiah, okay? Zechariah is saying the same thing, but they refused to pay attention. Chapter 7, verse 11. Zechariah chapter 7. They refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. Even 400 years later, Zechariah is saying the same thing to Israel. He's saying that you will hate to listen. Look at verse 12. They have made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. It's because they did not hear the word of the Lord that they were under the wrath of God. What is the result? Verse 13. As I called, they would not hear. So they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. So Israel is supposed to hear the word of God and call upon God. But now, because they did not listen, God does not hear their prayer. So this is what happens. They are not being changed in their being. So even 400 years after Zechariah, Jesus says the same thing. And the apostles say the same thing. Israel, you are not listening. But now, today, the churches are not listening. That's why for the past 2,000 years, churches have only been looking for power, for blessing alone. And that's why they've all fallen to ruin. This is how important it is to listen to the word of God. If you listen to the word of God properly, then 99% of your spiritual life, there will be no problems at all. As I said, the word belongs to the personality of God. It is the principle by which he created this world. And when the word of God enters into you, his life enters into you, and this word moves the word of life inside of you. So what problem would there be? It is through the word of God that your being will be transformed. And then all the external things will be solved through that. So without the being, you cannot have external manifestations. Amen. So this is how important the words of Isaiah are. So Isaiah and all the other prophets say the same thing. But they have stopped their ears and they did not listen. So none of you have stopped up to your ears, right? None of you are deaf, right? You have to listen. Let's move on. Verse 10. This is very important, right? It's very important to listen to the word of God by faith. actually, when I say 39%, but actually 100% of your spiritual life will have no problem if you hear the word of God by faith. There'll be absolutely no problem at all in your life. Amen? But if you cannot hear, then there's a big problem. If you, as you're listening to this message, you feel tired, you feel sleepy, it's not entering into you, then that's a big problem. It sounds like just noise, and my face is going back and forth, closer and farther away because you're tired and sleepy. Have you tried driving when you're sleepy? The car in front of you goes back and forth, back and forth. So let's move on. Verse 10. Let's pray. God wants us to pray. When you pray right now, you need to ask God to show to you the reason why you cannot hear the word of God. It's because most likely the reason is because you have unbelief inside your heart. So you need to work to remove this unbelief from inside of you. So unbelief brings also deception and confusion. So deception, let's say for example I said A, but you hear B. That's deception. I said 10, but you hear 5. That's the work of deception. Confusion, when we say confusion, confusion makes things unclear. It's like a fog. That is all the work of unbelief inside of you. So if there's deception and confusion, you need to cast that out, cast those demons out. And also, you need to... There's an evil spirit that speaks inside your ear. That's also the work of unbelief. We call that the demon of whispers. So as I am preaching right now, you're actually hearing other evil spirits speaking to you. There are many of you who are hearing these evil spirits whispering to you. One of those demons is the evil spirit of guilt. They always make you feel guilty. That is one of the evil spirits that are whispering to you. So this is all the works of unbelief. Deception, confusion, the whispering, and the feelings of guilt. All of these things are blocking your ears, and you're not able to hear the word of God. So this happens because of the roots of unbelief inside of you. If you get rid of the unbelief, those spirits will not talk to you. Of course, there are times when these evil spirits move. Even though you don't have the spirit of unbelief inside of you, and it's a quick problem, quick solution. You just proclaim the blood of Jesus. But if you have the root of unbelief inside of you, those... spirits always follow you. Deception. If you look in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this age has confused you, has deceived you, so you cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel. So I'm not... when I talk about the spirit of the world, I'm talking about all of these other evil spirits. So I'm saying that most of these evil spirits work together with the spirit of unbelief. This unbelief inside of you makes these evil spirits of confusion come to you. And they make it so that you cannot see the light of the gospel. So we need to get rid of these things. God, when we pray today, Lord, bring the power of the blood of Christ upon us and help us to get rid of this root of unbelief inside of us and help us to cut off all of these works of unbelief. Deception, confusion, the whispering evil spirits, and the feelings of guilt, Lord. Completely get rid of these things. Lord, help us to hear the word of God by faith. Help us to be moved by the word of God. Shema Israel, listen. The blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus. Okay, there are other, one more thing we're going to pray about. Okay, so the spirit of unbelief always works together with the preaching of God's word. And the spirit of the world always works together against the Holy Spirit. So it's the same thing. So if we limit the Holy Spirit, we're limiting the word of God. So the spirit of unbelief works against the preaching of the word, and the spirit of the world works against the Holy Spirit. So we need to get rid of both of these things. Lord, we cut off all of the connections of the evils, of the spirit of unbelief and the spirit of the world. Let all of the evil spirits that are confusing the word get out in the name of Jesus, the blood of Christ. Cast them out. The blood of Jesus. Whispering evil spirits. All of the evil spirits that cause us to have guilty feelings. All the deception and confusion, get out in the name of Jesus. So much better now. I think you guys have gotten much better. It's because you might receive that kind of attack from time to time. It's because of these evil spirits. So you always need to check your spiritual status, especially during worship. You need to check if there's any work of the spirit of deception, confusion, the whispering evil spirits. You need to cut them off. You should write on your forehead. Confusion, deception, don't come close. Okay, let's move on. I know that you guys surface the evil spirits when you hear the word of God. So because those were manifesting, we needed to pray. So let's move on. It's already 12:30. Okay, verse 10. They say to the seers, do not see, to the prophets, do not prophesy to us. So they're saying to the prophets, don't prophesy, don't see visions. This is how strong your unbelief can get. And they said to the prophets, do not speak to us what is right. Do not speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions. This is what happens when you fall into unbelief. Yeah. Speak to us smooth things. Speak illusions, prophesy illusions. They're saying, do not convict us of sin. Also, don't give us stress. Don't tell us to repent. They're saying, just tell us smooth things. Just bless us. Just tell us nice things. Just tell us to make money. That God is going to bless us. That our children are going to do well. That our businesses are going to do well. Just say these kind of things to us. That's what they're saying. I'm not sure if you guys are the same. Are you the same? So the work of unbelief has always been working through humanity. It started with Adam, right? But in the end times, there's going to be that kind of work as well. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming. It's talking about the end times. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They will not allow for sound teaching. This is what is happening right now. Because this is the time of the Antichrist is using unbelief. And what does it mean that they do not endure sound teaching? It's not that the sound teaching is the problem. Whether or not they are presenting sound teaching, they're not able to hear. But people are all like this with their head to the side. They're saying, why are you crooked? Why are you crooked with their head to the side? Try standing straight. Even though they put their heads to the side, they're not able to hear the word correctly. That's what it means. Everybody has put their head to the side. They're crooked. For some people, 5 minutes later, like this, on the other way. They are all standing sideways, or they put their head sideways. But they have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. It means that they will only listen to only what they want to hear. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths, into mythology. So it is a sign of the end times that they cannot listen to the word of God. And this is the evil spirit that has been working throughout all of human history. So how strong is this evil spirit? So the longer that the evil spirit is inside a person, the stronger that evil spirit becomes. So after Adam, the spirit of unbelief has been oppressing the humanity. And in the end times, everybody will be standing sideways. So those of you who are, your head is crooked, what should you do? You have to knock on their head to straighten their head. They have to come back to the right way. You have to strike the clock, okay? So they're not no longer at the 5-minute hand. What happens if they're at the 5-minute hand? Okay, anyways. Okay, let's move on. Back to Isaiah. So this is the sign of the end times. We have to be aware of it. Verse 11. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. What does it mean to turn aside from the path? They're asking the prophets to turn away from the path that considers God as right. Because they're standing sideways, they cannot follow the right path. They're not able to follow the truth of God. What does it mean that they cannot follow the truth? It means that they are choosing the wrong things in every moment. So there's many reasons why Jesus will come to judge the world. But the biggest reason is that all human beings are not able to choose the right thing. Because they are all standing sideways, they're always choosing the wrong thing. So that's why the evil will accumulate in the world and overflow. What is truth? Truth is being able to follow God's thing in every moment, to choose God in every moment. So you have to be able to have the ears to hear the truth of God in every moment. So we'll talk about this more later. But as long as Israel hears the word of God, then they will encounter no trouble. So as long as they hear the right word of God and they follow the right path, then God is always ready to intervene in Israel, in Israel's affairs. So many of you might be saying, God, help me. You say that with your lips, but God cannot intervene. Why? Because you keep going on the wrong path. What does God do for the person who's on the wrong path? He just brings them back to the right path. That is repentance. Metanoia in Greek. Metanoia is to change your path, change your direction. You have to turn your direction to back to the right path. So God cannot do anything for the person on the wrong path except to bring them back to the right path. So Israel has abandoned the right path. This all happens because they abandoned the word of God. They do not listen to the word of God. So, and then it says, let us leave the way. They don't want to go on the narrow path anymore. Because living by the word of God is the narrow path. It's not that the narrow path is different from the wide path, but living with God itself is the narrow path. You might think that you can choose between the narrow path and the wide path, that there are two paths. The reason we say it's a narrow path is not because it's difficult or because it's a burden or because there's a lot of suffering. That's not why it's a narrow path. It's just the one path. That's why it's called the narrow path. So there's only one path to God. There's only one path that God desires. From the world, it looks like a very difficult path. But to us, do we think about what to choose? No, there's no need to think about it because God only desires one path, right? But they are denying this one path. That means that they are denying God, and they are going the path of the world. So many people think that, oh, there's two paths. There's a narrow path and a wide path. I gave up the wide path. No, that's wrong. There's only one path. That's why I keep telling you, there's no decisions to make when you live with God. If you are making a complicated decision, it means that you have your own thoughts. And you think, because I made the right choice on my own, you have your own righteousness. There's only one path with God. Amen? So, as you live with God, there are many people who think that there are two choices. There's a dualism when you live with God. But living with God is monism. There's only one choice. There's only one path. The moment you have faith, there's only one path that you see by faith. There are many different paths. Thousands of paths, but the moment you have faith, you see only the one path. You might think you made a choice. No, it's not true. The moment you have faith, you see only one path, one choice. But what is unbelief? The moment you have unbelief, you see only the paths that do not work. You see only the paths that do not work. That is unbelief. That's why the people who have unbelief, they fall into ruin. So let's move on. What else? It says, therefore, thus says the Holy... Now let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. So there says, verse 12, verse 15, it's always talking about the Holy One of Israel. It's talking about holiness. The fact that God is calling himself the Holy One of Israel, he's saying... Oh, I'm very strict. of course, it's weird that God is calling himself strict, right? But there is that kind of nuance here when God calls himself the Holy One of Israel. He's saying this because Israel has abandoned holiness. So these are the results of not living by God. As we receive the word of God, we're supposed to be changed in our being. What is the essence of our being? It is holiness. But because we have denied the word of God, we have lost his holiness. If you lose God's holiness, it's over. Game over. So let's say, for example, is there a good example? There's no good example. Okay. Sometimes I can't think of a good example. It's like this. Let's say there's a channel by which I have a relationship with God. But I closed off that channel. I'm supposed to just enter into that channel. But I decided to take the long way around, 10 times around the world. But I thought I made that decision, but I actually am not able to go. So it means that if you get rid of the holiness of God, you cannot choose anything else. The best dignity and worth, the treasure God has given us is holiness. On the other hand, if we receive God's holiness, then we receive everything through that holiness. God's love comes through that holiness. God's righteousness comes through that holiness. There we can explain holiness in many different ways. There's no 100% accurate description. It's impossible with the language of human beings. But I think this is a very... this is one of the accurate statements, is to be separated. So no matter what God gives to us, it's never similar to what we can get from the world. So what we also say about holiness is that God is Ehad. He is one. He is unique. Unique. It's not one. One is talking about unity, okay? So God is unique. He is special. He is alone. He is completely separate and distinguished from everything else. It's the love that can't be compared to anything else in this world. His love, his wisdom cannot be compared to anything to this world, to anything in this world. So I'm not telling you a theory right now. When you receive his holiness continually, you will understand that you, when you're unified with his holiness, you will recognize that as Ehad, that you are one with God. In the New Testament, it says henos in the Greek. It says in Hebrews 2:11, the one who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are of one source. It means they are the same essence. They are the same. God is calling us the same as him. Henos, Ehad, one. We are one with God. So everything that he gives cannot be compared to anything else in this world. It is completely separate from this world. So as I always say, that your father's love and God's love are similar, that's a problem. Then that's not, you have not received God's love. His love is completely separate from anything in this world. It's because they have lost his holiness. That's why Israel has made an alliance with the world. That's why Israel stopped having any difference with the world. So it's a scary thing if we get rid of God's holiness. Okay, where are we? Verse 12. Thus, oh no, sorry, at the end of verse 11, let us hear no more the word about the Holy One of Israel. It means that it's burdensome for them to live with God. So as they receive the holiness of God and they live with God and they have the same essence as God, okay, nobody wants to live with a lion, right? No one wants to live together with a lion. Do you want to live with a lion in your house? You want to try living that way? Why does no one want to live with a lion? It's because they are not the same essence as... Lions are different from human beings. But we have received God's holiness. We have become one essence with God. So it's truly happiness to live with God. I guess only unhappy people are here. No one's saying amen. If you live with God, you become happy, right? But if you throw away God's holiness, then it becomes burdensome to live with God. It's uncomfortable. And you start to be afraid of God. And you feel like God is stealing from you. That's what happens. That's why the Israelites told Moses, Moses, you speak with God. Do not tell God to speak to us directly. So please repent if you are uncomfortable with God. Amen. We are going very slowly. It's because of you guys. What have you guys been doing for the past several months? I keep talking about the basics. We're supposed to keep moving forward. So we'll stop here. Because it's very important for you guys to pray now. You just heard only a little bit of the word and you're already full and you're starting about to throw up. You can't be that way, okay? So receive the impartation during the day and you need to absorb the word at night, okay? So let's pray. So please come at 2:30. Receive ministry, impartation, and you need to be loosened, okay? I can't preach the word if you guys are still bound in bondage. I think that's why it's very happy to meet with pastors. When I was preaching on 1 John at the pastor's conference, there was nothing to say. We just stopped at 1 John chapter 2. I feel like I have to do something for our church members, so I feel this burden because of the church members. And, you know, because pastors don't listen anyway, so I don't care about what I say in front of them. No, that's not true. Anyways, so you guys need to be loosened from your bondage during the day, our daytime session. So this is our spiritual ministry, right? That's not what we do. We don't just, you know, give what we prepare. You need to be ready to receive what I am giving you, what God is giving you through me. So it's been a while since we last saw each other, so I know it's very difficult for you. So Jung, you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Be honest. Be honest. You hear? You know what I'm saying? Are you sure? Should I just preach to you? God, Lord, we ask that you will loosen all of our bondage in today, during the day. Let the glory of the gospel flow upon us like a river. Lord, help us to be able to receive your word. Lord, we ask that you would show us the root problem of why we are not able to hear your word. Lord, we ask that you would get rid of all of the works of unbelief. Help us to never forget that the essence of God's kingdom is the word of God. Lord, help us to become people who can hear the word of God. Help us to be able to live in the kingdom of God according to his word. Lord, help us to become people who can receive the word of God, then to eat the word of God by faith. so that in every circumstance, no matter what we're doing, help us to be able to receive the word of God into our vessels, Lord. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray one more thing. When we talk about faith, faith is not something that I make inside of myself. That's not what faith is. Faith is a gift. Why is faith a gift? It's because it belongs to God. And it is the way that God himself lives. So God has to give it to you. So when it says to have faith, it is the faith of God. It means I do not have faith by myself. Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, you have God's faith. Have God's faith. If you look in Galatians 2, it talks about the faith of the Son. So the Holy Spirit, the faith of God and the faith of the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit confirms the faith of the Father and the faith of the Son inside of you. So even faith itself moves in a Trinitarian way. So you have to receive the faith of God. It's a gift. So you have to get rid of everything in your hands. So what exactly do you have to get rid of? What is the enemy of the faith? It is doubt. Doubt is the enemy of faith. Of course, unbelief is doubt, right? What is doubt? You have doubt because you are too accustomed to living by your own thoughts and your own plans and your own desires. Let's say, for example, you prayed. If you pray and you think, will prayer work? Does prayer work? Or let's say you experience something very difficult and you received a lot of grace and you were praying. You said, God, thank you. And you let go of that burden in front of God. But those who have doubt, you take up that burden up when you stop praying. There are a lot of people like that. That is doubt. Doubt. You should not have doubt. Just as it says in James 1:5, you do not think you will receive if you have doubt. So all of the root of your unbelief is doubt. So look at Hannah in the Bible. She prayed to God. She didn't have a child yet. She didn't have a baby yet. But she did not have any doubt. Her face was shining like an angel. Look at David. Even in any trial and suffering, he had the confirmation that God heard his prayer. The game is over. He had no doubt. So no doubt is the reason we can persevere. If you have doubt, you cannot persevere, and your spiritual status is very weak. So God is going to take away all of our doubt. And the pattern of your lifestyle has to change. All of the experiences that you got from Babylon, all of the thoughts you received from Babylon, you have to get rid of those things. You have to throw them away. In God's promises, meeting with God, you need to hold on to those things. That's very precious. And if you hold on to those things, then you will get rid of the doubt inside of you. And you will be able to ask God by faith. And if you tell this mountain to be moved into the sea, it will happen. Lord, get rid of all of our doubts. Have the God's faith. You have God's faith. It is a gift. It is a present. Receive it. You have to receive it. Let all of the doubt disappear. Let all the doubt disappear. Disappear. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Living with God is excitement. Because because we cannot even imagine the things that he can do for us. And that is the season that we're living in right now. So look, you might think, oh, should I pray for 10 years and then I'll be loosened? Will it be fixed in 10 years? No. But in this season, God is changing us quickly, quickly. So the reason that I love Latin America is because I am seeing God doing His work among the remnant there. They are changed completely in one moment. They completely change in one moment. In just one conference, that the church becomes exactly like our church. So I'm amazed at them. When will sewing ministry churches in Korea be changed like them? But look, it's God started this in Latin America first. And God is doing that now in Africa. And now it's time for Korean churches to change. Because Korean churches, they've been part of sewing ministry since the beginning. Okay, it's time for Korean churches to change. God is changing us quickly, quickly. So it's very exceptional timer. The exceptional things will happen this conference. Believe it. You have God's faith. Amen. So everyone come out during the afternoon. All of our church members, please do ministry. Do ministry during the afternoon. And do impartation. And now the rivers are going to burst forth. And you're going to see, you're going to be able to tell me, you're going to confess to me, the problem I've had for 10 years has been released. And I tried so hard, but now it finally changed. The spiritual status of Korea would be completely turned upside down in Korea. I believe there will be a great victory. Amen.